This is episode 50 of Our Modern Heritage, the new home and family culture podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. In this episode, I talk with Christopher Arir of 123 Entrepreneur. It's so fascinating how many similarities there are between business culture and family culture. And Christopher and I go into all the different ways that they are so similar and some of the qualities that building a business can help you instill a good and solid family culture. And so we talked a lot about some of the things that Christopher learned growing up with a dad who is very entrepreneurial minded, and also with some freedom that his parents had given him through homeschooling. We also talk about a couple of characteristics about how to develop a mission statement and the characteristics of starting and growing a business that also translate into family culture. And also, if your family is interested in starting a business, those characteristics that will help your family to be entrepreneurially minded. And so those are some of the things that Christopher and I go into in this episode. And to me, it's really important because these things really do relate on so many levels. That when you're talking about a business culture and you're talking about a family culture, that, you know, we've brought it up a lot in this series, in this podcast, you know, just talking about how family culture is like your family brand. Or, you know, Christopher here talks about how, you know, one of the most important things that comes up about family culture and business culture is teamwork and understanding each other's strengths and what you can bring to the table and share with each other. And so this was a great opportunity to talk with somebody who has some great experiences, and he has a course that he offers to help kids to start a business. That's what 123 Entrepreneur is all about. And so if you listen to the end, he's got a coupon, 20% off for my listeners. And it's a course that can also go towards some school credit. So it's a great course. It's a good opportunity to learn about entrepreneurship and how it relates to our families and how we can encourage our children. If they want to start a business, what it takes to incorporate that value into our family culture. So this has just been a great discussion, and I hope you enjoy listening in. Christopher Arir is a homeschool graduate now entering his junior year at Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky. Having grown up around small business, he was eager to put his learning into practice, and by the age of 18 had opened a small social media marketing firm. By the age of 20, he had developed an online entrepreneurial course that teaches students about the nuts and bolts of starting and running a small business. He currently serves as the CEO of this business course, 123 Entrepreneur, and also serves as the president of Boyce College's student-led business group, the Boaz Society. In his free time, he enjoys playing piano, playing soccer for his college's varsity team, and having deep talks with his friends. Welcome, Christopher. I'm so happy to have you.
Jody, thank you for having me on.
So awesome. So tell us more about what inspired this 123 Entrepreneur course.
Yeah, so I've grown up around a small business for many years. My dad's very entrepreneurial. He was in the Air Force. He was a colonel in the Air Force, a pilot. But before he got out, he'd always had this dream of having his own small business. And so we would actually, and I was homeschooled, and so we had a classroom wherever we lived, and we had a big dry erase board. And so what we would do many times is he would come up with ideas and analyze them, and then we'd brainstorm on these dry erase boards together and draw things out and just kind of work through things. And so I kind of grew up around that, and it really lit a fire within me to pursue entrepreneurship. And then as I grew older, I was always into, okay, what ideas can I do? How can I learn more? How can I start a successful business, you know, while I'm in middle school? And then it was while I'm in high school, on the side. And I really had a hard time learning what I needed to do. And especially as I learned more and more about business, all the different aspects of it, you know, the legal side, the marketing side, managing your finances, even coming up with an idea and analyzing it to see if it's worth pursuing, I feel like I wasn't educated well enough in that. And I feel like it was hard to find resources for it. And so that for me is really what prompted my interest in creating a course like that for other people, where it can be included in their school curriculum if they so desired. So that's why like there are quizzes and worksheets, but I also wanted to leverage other people. So like there are interviews with really well-known, really successful businessmen, getting their perspectives on it. And I'll tell you, that was one of my favorite things about creating this course, was sitting down with these men and like just listening to them and asking them about marketing and about finances and how to prepare your company for growth and how to analyze an idea. I learned so much just from sitting there and listening to them. And so that was a great experience for me. And I know I learned a lot from creating it. But yeah, the real goal behind it was really to create something that could help other people learn how to start a business and to do it correctly, and not, you know, like dog walking is great, you know, but like to take the next step, you know, how could I do dog walking and maybe grow it and leverage things to make it more than just, you know, I'm walking dogs once or twice a week. Cause those are the ideas that I could find when I was in middle and high school. And so I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to go bigger. And so the intent behind this course is really to equip people with the tools to go deeper if they needed to.
I love that. That's really, I want to go more into that as we go through the interview, because I love this idea. I mean, I read this one book called The Slight Edge, and he talks about in the beginning a story about how he's getting his shoes shined at the airport, and this lady who was shining his shoes had a stack of like romance novels or something that she would read while she was waiting for work. And he goes, man, if she'd been reading like business books, she would own a series of shoe shining booths, you know? And so it's like this idea that's, it's more than just having a job. Like you said, walking dogs, it's about doing something that's beyond that, that creates more impact and more service. So I really love that idea. And that's really what I want to dive into some more as we go through this conversation, how families can learn about how, you know, what that takes, or how they can just instill in their values this idea of creating and producing and making an impact beyond just what job can I do to make some money and make a couple bucks.
Right.
So can you tell, who are a couple of the famous people first of all, before we go on?
So, okay. Oh, we'll say depends on the circle you're in. So, I grew up in a really conservative household. And so, one of the men is named Wade Myers, and, he's a just, like a serial entrepreneur, graduate of Harvard Business School, has been involved in over, I want to say like 20, you know, merger acquisitions or leading companies, just phenomenal man. You know, loves his family well, serves his community well, but does business really well. Mm-hmm. And so the other one is the head of the business department at my school, Boyce College. He spent several years in Iraq as an entrepreneur, like as a social entrepreneur, doing something called Business as Mission, where the desired impact is twofold. One, financial, but two, to really help the community and to grow the community, to bring jobs, to bring wealth, to bring the gospel to the community. And so, you know, that's just a handful. Obviously, it depends on the circle you're in.
Yeah, yeah. To so, who you know.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Awesome, though. I like this idea, though, that when you create something entrepreneurial, you are impacting your community. And so I would love to hear about what they teach you or teach us about that in your course. Another question I want to spring on you a little bit is, what was your parents' like homeschool philosophy that they practiced?
So it was much more hands-on with them in the beginning years. My mom was in the Air Force as well. She was a colonel. She and my dad actually met in England overseas when they're both active duty. They got married and they came back to the States, and my dad stayed in active duty. My mom went reserves, and she's a nurse. So it's funny. My dad has had no like formal business training, and my mom had no like formal teacher education training. And yet, you know, they felt like that was the right thing to do. And so they found curriculums that they would just work with us on. And then as we progressed through the years, it became much more of our responsibility, to where They expected us to own our own schoolwork, to manage our schedules, to get stuff done. And so that's what it was. They laid that foundation in the beginning, very hands-on on top of us, you know, helping us with the accountability. And then as we got older, especially into high school, I could, you know, I just did my stuff and I took tests and I coordinated things and I just graduated. So
awesome. So it sounds a little bit more like a almost like leadership style type of education where it's
It really is because you are, well, you know, I was expected to take control of my own stuff. I was responsible for me. And they knew that, you know, if I didn't do my work, then I would suffer those consequences. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was more like I had to be self-motivated. And those early years of them being hands-on really helped develop that within me to where I realized, okay, I really do have a lot of, you know, skin in the game here. I need to stay on top of this. I need to be disciplined. I need to be getting good grades. I need to take the initiative basically in my schoolwork, also in the other areas of my life, if I want to succeed.
I think that's really inspiring to hear because I think that people get really afraid of the high school years when they're homeschooling or in education in general, because they think they have to really push their teenagers or really, really set high rewards for that to motivate them and things like that. But if you set up that, establish that expectation or that the value of education, then as they get older, then they start to see the impact that it can have on their lives and the outcome and start establishing real goals for yourself. So that's inspiring to hear.
Well, I will say it's not 100% of people like that. So, you know, I have several people. I have several friends who, you know, went through a time in high school. It was like, oh, I'm going to slack off a little bit. And then they realized, oh man, I've got to get on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so you see those dips in time and you just persevere. And honestly, you know, my parents had to realize to kind of like emotionally detach themselves almost where like, if I had decided to slack off and not take things seriously, they'd have to realize, okay, you know, we did what we could. You know, we're responsible for teaching him, for training him, for showing him here's how you do it and here's why you do it, and then letting me kind of fly on my own. And that if I didn't fly, it was my fault. And so, you know, for any parents out there listening who are like, man, my kids are struggling with this, you know, at some point you kind of just got to go hands off. Like, okay, I did what I could and I'll be there to help them. But ultimately, you know, especially as we get older, it's our responsibility. So
I think that that's a really crucial point also, because, you know, I've been reading into, looking into all these different things about how millennials or kids, these even up till my age, even we're starting to discover that we've always been like spoon fed what to think or what direction we ought to take our lives. And now we're going, wait, what am I doing? Or, you know, we look back on our lives and go, wait, I should have done X, Y, and Z, or I wish I'd done this and that. And so I think that it's that idea is very inspiring to think that, you know, we really should empower our kids to discover their voices, discover their capacity, and that allows them actually to have greater satisfaction and freedom in their lives. And so to see you as being successful, you're going to college, you're running a business and you're making an impact, that's really inspiring that you're setting a good example of somebody that had that freedom to discover themselves and are thriving. And so, cause I think that with me, for myself and my demographic, like I still have small kids and I'm going, I don't want them to grow up hating their lives or hating me or things like that. Anyways, I'm rambling now, but I appreciate this idea. And so I almost can see that because your parents adopted this mentality of handing you the keys to the car, to your life, that actually helped you to be a self-starter, to be self-motivated. And so would you say that helped you to become more entrepreneurial minded?
I would. I'm very like self-motivated by nature. So that definitely helped too. But, you know, I have a great relationship with my parents. So even though they're technically like hands off right now, I still really value their wisdom, their experience. You know, they're some of my best friends. That sounds tacky, but like that in a way, they can be hands off, but I can still go to them for accountability. So, you know, with us, it just works really well to where I know how much they care for me, how much they want me to succeed. And so I know that I'm on my own and I can, you know, I can sink or swim basically, but I also know that I can go to them for advice. But yeah, that definitely helped me become more entrepreneurial. Because I'm like, well, at some point I'm going to be on my own. I have to figure out what I want to do with my life. Yeah. So
that, but it isn't like they pushed you away. Yeah. It's like they said, all right, we're in your corner. We're rooting for you. We're not pushing you away. We're just letting you be on your own or be self-motivated. So that's
right.
That's,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Like I lived at home with them over summer break. So, you know, like there's a balance to it.
Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you basically what comes to mind. What do you think about when you hear about family culture?
Teamwork. Yeah. Basically teamwork, learning how to get along together. I have two siblings, so I'm kind of in the midst of that, or was in the midst of that more when I was at home. But yeah, family culture is so important to develop because, you know, the way God set up, you have however many people are in your family, technically they're in your corner, like you said. And it would be foolish to throw that away just because it's there. You know, when I was growing up, my parents were very intentional about creating a family identity. And so we did stuff together. We had family nights. They're very, very intentional about having family dinners. You know, we went to church together as a family. We tried to serve together as a family. You know, my dad's business, there were times where, you know, if he needed help, we would, you know, help stuff envelopes for him, you know, as a family. In Alabama growing up, I remember we would go and clean this clinic once a week together as a family. And, you know, I was little. But that, all those things kind of built themselves into creating a family culture. And just one where you realize, okay, these people are on my side. And we're going to get a lot more done if we're all working together. You know, yeah. It's dumb to push these people away just by being a jerk. You know what I mean? And so a lot of it's like, swallow your pride, get over it. You know, you're still a work in progress too. And build that family culture because you really can do so much more together as a family. There's so many service opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities together as a family that only last for a little bit. And then, you know, whether your kids leave the house or whether you're younger and you grow up and you have your own family, you know, things change. And so a lot of it really is just taking advantage of the season that you're in and just using it to its maximum benefit.
I love that. That's a really good analogy of seasons, because I think, you know, a lot of times I've talked about family culture as being like a garden, and, you know, there's seasons for different things that will cultivate or flourish in different times of the year. And it's like, that's how our families are too. We adjust and adapt to those different seasons of life.
Yep. Awesome. And they go away. So take advantage of them while they're here.
Yes.
And don't let it go by.
So how would you compare family culture to like a business culture? Since you have this business aspect of your experience and your family aspect, how would you compare the two?
A big thing is just learning the strengths and weaknesses of the people you're working with. So like my brother, I paid him to design and build the website for me. And that was figuring out, okay, I do not have that strength and he's highly skilled in that area. So for him, that is a strength. It was really well leveraged for me to outsource that to him and say, hey, you build this website. I know you'll do a good job. And keeping it within the family, that's kind of cool. But, you know, he could do a great job and he did a great job with it. And it's really similar, like you said, to family culture, because you're just learning the strengths and weaknesses of those you're working with. And you're striving together towards a common goal. You know, in your family, whatever that goal is, you're working together on it, you know, to create family unity and family harmony, or whether you're serving together, you know, whether it's more abstract, more concrete, you're working together as a family unit. And the same is with business. You have to come together. You have to be on the same page. You have to communicate. You have to learn, okay, this irritates this person in my business, so I'm not going to do that. It's the same with the family. You know, you just stay away from those buttons, so to speak. So a lot of it, I would say, is just teamwork and communication, and they're very closely tied together. So,
yeah. And do businesses, in your course, do you talk about building a mission statement?
Mm-hmm.
That helps to shape your family culture too. What are some ways that you create a business mission statement?
Yeah. So when you started a business, obviously you want to go with why. Like, you know, what's the need? What can I do to meet that need? And how am I going to separate myself from other people who are trying to do this? So honestly, a lot of the why goes into your mission statement. So, you know, for your business vision statement, why are we here? Why do we exist? Why are we bothering going to all this legal work and all this, you know, financial risk and time investment? You know, like, what's the potential benefit? So why are we doing this? And then how? How, and again, like you said, it's really short. So it's obviously, it's not a business plan. It's more like a summary of a business plan, so to speak. But, you know, briefly, how? You know, how are you going to accomplish your why? That's how I approach mission statements. And it's really good you brought that up about families, because I forgot that my dad is huge on personal mission statements. He's created one for our family. He created one for his business. And I would say that's really important too, because if you don't have a direction, it's going to be really hard to keep track of where you're exceeding, where you're falling short, and just a general direction that you're headed in. It's hard to evaluate. I'm a really big believer in, okay, I love stats. So I love taking things and analyzing, okay, what can I be doing better? What, you know, what am I failing in? How can I change things and adjust it? You know, like you said at the beginning, I play soccer for my team. And so what I'm constantly doing is I'm constantly evaluating every practice, every game. What can I be better in? How can I be better? What do I obviously really need to work on? And the same is true with your mission statement. If you don't have something, I would say written out, it's hard to figure out, you know, what you're doing and if you're meeting the goals that you want to meet, if you're not. Yes, that's a really great point. Definitely, definitely have a family mission statement, just like you would for your business, and have a personal mission statement too, to evaluate yourself. So
it's like it sets that standard of what you can keep coming back to of going, are we meeting this or what can we do better? And in order to meet that standard of that vision and even come back to it and evaluate, is this really serving us, and maybe adjust it and rewrite it as you go along. So that's, yeah, it all applies to families too. Everything that you just said, I was just like, yes, yes, everything. That's so true. That's the way that families work. And so, and along the lines of this idea of creating an entrepreneurial type of values and mindset in your families, you know, what types of whys, you know, what is an important mindset that an entrepreneur has?
Yeah. So, I would say perseverance first off. Go into it realizing it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a ton of time. When I created my course, I was like, okay, I kind of had a rough sketch for how long it would take me. And I spread it out over several months so that it wouldn't be enormous, you know, because I was going to school, you know, and so I had to spread it out. And it ended up being a lot more time than I thought it would. And so thankfully, you know, my dad, seeing his business and then just all the hundreds of conversations we've had about entrepreneurship over the years, he, you know, just drilled into me, you know, you have to persevere. It's going to be hard. It's going to, you know, you think it's going to take X amount of time. Well, it's going to take X and then some. You think it's going to take X amount of money. It's going to take X and then some. And so just going into any business startup with that idea really honestly helps make the perseverance easier, because you can kind of expect it. But yeah, perseverance is obviously, it's just so important. And the second thing I would say is just look for needs. Look for, and you can apply this to business. You can apply it to ministry. You can apply it to anything. Where is a need that is not being met adequately, that, or that isn't being met at all, or that you could just do it a whole lot better, and figure out, okay, here's this, there's a need, and then let's go after it. Any idea that you have that's not a need, you're going to get discouraged really easily, because you're going to be like, okay, we're not doing anything. You know, nobody's really latching on to this. And it makes sense. You know, if there's no need for it, people aren't going to go after it. And so you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get discouraged, which will make persevering even harder. But if you have, you know, if you see something that's just a genuine need, whether it's in your community, whether it's a product that's not being offered, like, you know, what I saw with my business, then just go after that. You know, and I think the cool thing about it is that you can train your kids to do that at an early age. And that's what my dad did with me constantly. Okay. You know, he'd come home with an idea and we'd talk about, okay, you know, is it a need? How big of a need is it? You know, could it cover our costs of operating? And you can just apply it to so many aspects of life. That's what I love about business. Yeah. Is it relates to family and so many other aspects of life so well, where they're all intertwined, and where the disciplines within business, you can apply directly to having a family, like you said, and creating that family culture. So yeah, so perseverance, and then obviously just training your family just to look for needs. and say, you know, and it's as simple as just being aware when somebody says, wow, you know, my shoes are always worn out and we don't have money to buy shoes. You know what I mean? Like something small like that. If your kids can pick up on that, if your family can pick up on that, that is a huge win because their ears are tuned to, okay, where are the needs? And then you can act on it. And then you can go, okay, what can I do to meet this need? And just set everything in motion.
I can see that being useful if you set up experiences for your kids. Because I think a lot of those things, perseverance and seeing needs, comes with experience. That if your kids are sitting there watching TV all day or something like that, they're not going to get that exposure to seeing the world and going, oh, wow, I've never gone to see, go to a nursing home to see what happens there. Or I've never gone to, you know, I've never traveled anywhere or done anything. That when kids are given these kinds of experiences, even just walking around a city or something like that, something as simple as that, or spending time on a farm or spending time with people who are in the trenches of things, that they will gain that experience and start to tune their ears to going, oh, I've been there and I understand what they're talking about, or, you know, that would help you to know where to fill that need. And I also like that you brought up that being able to observe needs isn't everything. Like you said, it's like you could even just in your home, if you are running around trying to clean up the house and the kids are sitting there going, I'm so bored. And you go, really? Where do you see a need here?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if it's your ministry, like you said, if you go visit families in your church or things like that, or if you want to see what service you can provide that spreads the good news, or, you know, things like that, you can say, how can I get this a message across, or what can I do to serve those people that will help them? And that practice, even just day-to-day experiences, will develop that. So I really, that's a good point.
Yeah. And, you know, just an example of this would be, you know, our church on the last Sunday of every month, we go to a nursing home and we have a service there. And cause there wasn't, that need wasn't being met. And so that's an example of serving the community, right? Because the business examples, a lot of times, are easier to find, honestly. But it's hard to think about, okay, how can I find a need for my community and serve together as a family? Like, that is one of the biggest things. If you can serve together as a family, that will really create just an attitude of humility within your children, I think, in finding those needs. And also just exposing them to realizing, okay, the world's not about me. The world's a lot bigger than I am, you know. Stretch your kids, you know, expose them to a whole bunch of different experiences. Like you say, going on a farm or, you know, walking around the city, like being in a nursing home, like that's huge, you know? And also it puts a lot of things in perspective. It's like, okay, there are a lot of people out here who are really struggling. You know, what can I do with what I have, with what I've been blessed with? For me, with a nursing home, I've been really impacted just by realizing, you know, eventually I will be here at some point. And so how can I love these people now? Like, I would want people to love me when I'm in their spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it really does have an impact.
That's awesome. It's more than just about exposing your kids to different cultures, because if they can, like, be exposed to those different things, then they turn it around and go, what can I do? You know what I mean? It's not just about, oh, I want my kids to be cultured. I want them to travel the world so they can be cultured and know what's around the world. It's going, that's great. But now what are they going to do about it? I think that it's really important to think, to have that entrepreneurial mindset, that it's not just about me. It's not just about what I want to get out of the situation. It's about what I want to do to turn around and help somebody else. And so that's a really good, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and my school is really good about stressing to student leaders the same thing. We're getting poured into, and actually not just student leaders, but the students in general, we're getting poured into so much. We have, you know, excellent faculty, excellent instructions, and just material that we're just learning so much. But it's no good, like you said, you know, just for the sake of being cultured. Like, that's so self-centered. You know, the idea is take in to pour out.
Yeah.
And that for me has been a game changer, just in a mentality. And I'm not there yet, like fully understanding that and how it works. But I feel like I've really grown in the last couple of years, realizing how can I take what I'm learning and then just turn around and go, okay, how can I pour it out?
Yeah. How can families encourage their kids who want to start a business? Like you said that when you're in middle school, that the option was walking dogs or mowing lawns or things like that. Like what took you to the next level or even start at that level? How can families encourage their kids to start businesses if that's what they want to do?
Yeah, well, be okay with them starting in small. Everything starts small, and just really encourage them and encourage them to fail. Honestly, fear of failure is a huge thing, and just getting over that. And you know, for me, I've grown a lot and like investing money into my business and the course, and I never would have done this a few years ago because I would have been so afraid that it would have failed. But yeah, coming alongside them, just letting them know, okay, here are the opportunities out there. You know, we see you have this bent towards this, go after it, you know, and start small, because you know, when you're in middle school, you're only capable of so much in terms of time investment. You know, you're not driving. So, you know, those are huge things. So you can only do so much, but you can still get the same principles that are important for bigger business, like customer service or, you know, pricing, even marketing. You can still learn very valuable lessons. And, you know, even if you just make a little bit of money, you know, technically it's a success. And so then that will encourage them to continue on and always encourage them to grow. So yeah, so come alongside them, encourage them to fail, encourage them to grow, especially as they gain more freedom, as they have more money to invest back into it. I would say honestly too, helping them to develop wise spending habits is really important, so where they're not blowing all their money and so they can invest it. I am a hoarder like with money, so I'm working on that. But because of that, because I save almost everything, I had that money to invest. Yeah. And so that's really important if they want to take the next step up. Yeah. So, and then always educate yourself. Don't stop learning. There are always books you can be reading, always conferences. There's so many different types of conferences. You know, you can go to conferences for family business. You can go to conferences for teen entrepreneurs. You can go to conferences that are, you know, industry specific. You know, you can read books. You can take things online. You can listen to podcasts. You can do so much even for free. Like, you really don't have an excuse not to do it. But the biggest thing, honestly, is at some point, like, you've learned enough and you just need to go out there and experience it. And you need to go, even if you fail, you are going to learn a ton from your failure. And so don't just keep learning, because honestly, that's a fear of failure too. If you're so afraid to start, like, oh, I'll read another book and I'll read another book. Go out and just start and be okay with failing. Realize a ton of people fail. A lot of really successful entrepreneurs fail several times before they, you know, so hit the big time. But yeah, that's what I'd say. Encourage them, come alongside them, encourage them to grow, encourage them to fail. Encourage them to spend well and spend wisely and to always educate themselves. So that was a mouthful, but
no, that was awesome. That was awesome. Well, that whole idea of not being, of being afraid of failure is a really big deal. It's so crucial to practice that idea of that. It's okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay to stumble. It's okay to take the risk and then blow it. But you at least took the risk. You were willing to take the risk. And that creates that sense of that skill of perseverance, because it is. It's like a muscle. This resilience is the ability to rebound or to, you know, recover from the setback. But if you never put yourself out there to experience setbacks, then you're never gonna develop resilience. And right. So that's a really good point. No, that's really awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and I would say on top of that too, like, there's a difference between good risk and bad risk. So obviously, you know, don't be afraid to fail, but be smart. You know, do a cost benefit analysis. You know, what are the potential pros? What are the potential cons? If everything goes terribly wrong, you know, what will happen? Mm-hmm. And then analyze, is that worth it? So yeah, don't be afraid to fail, but be smart about it, because you can be really dumb and take some really bad risks and hose yourself.
So, so do it smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, Christopher. So I just want to conclude. Can you just tell us, do you have any suggestions or recommendations for books that can help parents to develop this entrepreneurial mindset?
Yeah, so the business book that has been most impactful for me is called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. Fantastic book. All about setting the foundation for your business, creating systems so that it can grow and it can scale as you are able to. So I'd highly recommend that. I would also recommend a book called The Side Hustle by Chris Guillebeau, I believe. Really great book. And it's all about how to have businesses on the side. And so that's interesting because especially, you know, if you're a family, probably it's not going to be your main income, especially starting out. So that's a great book on how to go after side hustle ideas that you can do while you're working a full-time job, you know, that you can do with your family. So yeah, I'd recommend that book to you as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Christopher. And so tell us where we can find you, where's the best place to connect with you on social media and your website?
Yeah. So my website is www.my1040academy.com. That's the number 1040. And we just love to help you learn about entrepreneurship and educate you so that you and your family and your kids can just be equipped to do whatever you feel led to do. That's just really the big thing about it. It counts, or it can count for school credit, depending on how you do things. And the interviews, like I said, are super valuable. I learned a ton from them. And if you listen to the end of the podcast, you get 20% off if you use the code Family Culture. It's Family Culture, so it's 20% off. Good deal. And
awesome.
So, and we're on Facebook and Instagram as well. So okay. It's 123 Entrepreneur.
123 Entrepreneur. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. I love getting your feedback. You can like, rate, and share on your favorite broadcasting medium or social media platform. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Family Culture Podcast and on Twitter at @_FamilyCulture. Come check out my show notes and resources at homeandfamilyculture.com. Thanks again for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."